ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಃ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ವಿವೇಕ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ 17. ವಿವೇಕಿನೋ ವಿರಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ಶಮಾದಿ ಗುಣಶಾಲಿನಃ. ವಿವೇಕಿನೋಭಿರಕ್ತಸ್ಯ ಶಮಾದಿಗುಣಶಾಲಿನಃ. ಮುಮುಕ್ಷೋರೇವ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ ಯೋಗ್ಯತಾಮತಾ. ಮುಮುಕ್ಷೋರೇವ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸಾ ಯೋಗ್ಯತಾಮತಾ. ಆಸ್ ವಿ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್, ವಿ ರೀಅರೇಂಜ್ಡ್ ದ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್. ವಿ ಡಿಡ್ 18 ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಆಸ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್. And now we are reading shloka number 17. And we are discussing the preparatory steps from shloka 14 going to be until shloka 40. These are all sadhanas in whose presence alone Vedantic study can become fruitful. First, the Acharya, he talked about certain general intellectual qualifications required. Because what we are trying to do is to gain knowledge. And since this knowledge is transferred through oral communication and by the study of Upanishads, an expertise in language was required and no other instrument of knowledge is used. So not only the source of knowledge, the pramana, it is in verbal form, it is in shabda rupam, even the guru has to communicate through the words only. Therefore, two types of words are involved. One is shastraic words, the words of the shastras, and two, the guru's words. If there is a problem in any of these, then communication will not take place. So, a good ground in language is required, and that is one qualification. And the capacity to reason out is required where knowledge is involved. So, reasoning capacity is a second qualification. And finally, the capacity to analyze, to find out which part of the Shastra is important and which are only supportive information from the Shastras. So, that ability to analyze. So, we gave the example from the first chapter of Gita. The problem of samsara is to be extracted from the first chapter and one has to drop out all other details. And in Kathopanishad also, all the stories of Nachiketas going to Yamaloka, whether he went with this body or without this body, all those things are all not important. But the qualifications of Nachiketas, Yama, they are the only thing that are important, and this is the analytical capability. So, to find out what is the Tatparya Vakyam, the content, and what is the Arthavada Vakyam, which is like the husk. You know, if you take the paddy, you pound the paddy to get the grain and the husk out. So, that is to be removed, retaining the grain. And this is called Tatparya Nirnayaha. Here, it is told as Uha Poha Lakshanatvam. We saw that in the previous shlokas. So, the language, the reasoning ability and analysis, these are the qualifications which are required for Vedanta. And having talked about these general qualifications, now the Acharya came to the particular qualifications called Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi. And this is the second stage of preparation. And for the first stage, they studied traditionally three Shastras. We mentioned all these in the previous webinar. They studied the Vyakarana Shastram, the grammar, then Tarka Shastram and Mimamsa Shastram. All the three were made compulsory for every Vedantic student. Now, in the second stage of qualification, namely the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, the teacher has enumerated them as Viveka, Vairagyam, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti and Mumukshutvam. We saw all this in the previous, I am just only recapitulating. In English, we can call them all as discrimination, dispassion, discipline, and desire. Swamiji calls it as four Ds. Now, if you look at sloka number 17, the Acharya says, what are those? Vivekinaha viraktasya shamati gunashalinaha mumukshoho. So, vivekinaha. So, the student must be a viveki. He must have discrimination. And viraktasya, he must have dispassion. Shamadi gunashalinaha, he must have the sixfold inner virtues. Shamadi shatka sampatti. So, sixfold inner virtues. He is going to tell each one of them. Shama, for example, mastery of the mind, mind control. Actually, five more will be Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, Titiksha, all those things he is going to mention later. And all these put together, six of them put together, is called inner wealth. By specifying the inner wealth, the scriptures, they point out that they are not bothered about one's external wealth at all. Not even one's physical body. Vedanta does not bother whether one is a male or a female, whether he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya. They are all exterior only. Whether he is a Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprasthi or Sannyasi, doesn't matter. Vedanta does not bother about any of them. It only asks, what are your inner possessions? So, this is a person who is Shali. Here, the term Shali, Gunashali. Shali means endowed with, rich with. And this is the third qualification. Third of the four qualifications. And the fourth is Mumukshoho. Desire for inner freedom. Mumukshutvam. So, and that too, intense desire. It should not be just a casual desire. It should be Tivra Iccha. Mumukshutvam in Tattva Bodha, we already saw that definition. Mokshome Bhuyat it Iccha. That's a Tivra Iccha. There's craving that I should get moksha and nothing else. Because that alone will be, and this intense desire alone will be implemented. That is why a casual desire is not asked here. A lukewarm desire is not desired, but a serious, a craving desire. So, who has got intense desire for inner freedom, that should be kept as the top priority in one's life. For such a person who has got discrimination, dispassion, discipline means the inner wealth and the desire, the four Ds, yogyata matha, their yogyata, their eligibility, their fitness, for what? Brahma jigyasa, for Brahman inquiry, Brahma vicharaha, atato Brahma jigyasa. So, when we hear this, some might get a doubt. Should I attend the next webinar at all or not? Because these are the qualifications needed. I don't seem to have any of them. Should I attend the next webinar? For that, the Acharya says, no one comes with perfect sadhana chaturshtaya sampatti. It is like, you know, those who are chemistry students, they would know what is an ideal gas. Ideal gas is only words. There is nothing like this ideal gas. So similarly, no one is perfectly qualified. We have got some degree of qualification. How do we say that so boldly, whether we have got some degree of qualification at all or not? We can very boldly say that because we are already here. We are trying to learn Vedanta. So it is not a joke. Everyone cannot be here. So remember, Ishwara Anugraha Deva Pumsam Advaita Vasana. So for people to have this Advaita Vasana, it is only because of Ishwara Anugraham. It doesn't come to anybody just like that. So even for somebody to sit and listen to these Vedanta webinars, that is their Purva Janma Sukritam. It is their own merit. That is why they are able to sit here and listen. So even if there is curiosity or some kind of a casual interest even that requires some amount of qualification for studying Vedanta. That qualification is enough to start with. And the beauty is, Vedantic study is capable of giving two things. For the qualified person, it gives wisdom, self-knowledge. For the unqualified person, it gives qualification. It enables the person to gain the qualification. So, the very Vedantic study is capable of giving the qualification also. Therefore, we need to continue to attend and also continue to study and not drop from the study of Vedanta, because that itself will give us a qualification over a period of time. So, one doesn't have to think whether I am qualified at all or not. Now, even if we did not study all this, then we should have at least the capacity to understand what the teacher is using when he is using all these methods, whatever he is using, at least that much we should be able to understand. So let us remember, the teacher has enumerated the fourfold qualifications, sadhana, chatushti, sampatti, the four D's, discrimination, dispassion, discipline and desire. Now the teacher has to elaborate each one of them, what is discrimination, what is dispassion and all those things, which he will do from shloka number 19 that we will read. Adau nitya nitya vastu vivekaha pariganyate. Adau nitya nitya vastu vivekaha pariganyate. Iha mutra phala boga viragastatantaram. Shamadi shatka sampattihi mumukshutvam iti sputam. So the Acharya now elaborates the fourth qualification a little further. And still further elaborations will come later, but we are going to now. The Acharya takes them in three stages, if you really look at it. First, he mentioned in the 17th shloka, all the four things he mentioned. And here in this shloka, he does a little bit of elaboration. And he will do more elaboration from the 20th shloka onwards. So here he says, Adau nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. In the 14th shloka, he only said vivekaha, discrimination alone he said. But now once you say discrimination, then the question will come, discrimination of what? Is it between, for example, a real diamond and a fake diamond? Or from one caste and another caste? Or there is a gender discrimination, age discrimination, all those things. What is the discrimination he is talking about? Here he says, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. The discrimination between what is nityam and what is anityam. That is considered adav, firstly, foremost. That is the very first qualification. And that is why the very text itself is called Viveka Chudamani. Viveka is the foundation for everything, the ability to discriminate what is permanent and what is ephemeral. That is the fundamental qualification. Pariganyate, that has to be considered. Between nityam, nityam means the permanent, and anityam, the impermanent. And what is the purpose of doing this thing? We can very, very easily understand with a little bit of thinking. Once we know what is permanent and what is impermanent, we can easily conclude that holding on to a permanent thing alone will give me security, real security. If you hold on to impermanent things, we should be prepared for an eventual tragedy at some point in time. Krishna says, Yehisham sparsyaja bhogaha dukkha yonaya evate. A person holding on to impermanent things, the whole life is spent to striving to live only. And there is no question of looking for something greater, thinking, spiritual progress. None of those things will even appeal to the mind. The whole life is spent on securing the family, securing wealth, securing health, all those things only. So nitya anitya vastu vivekaha is the first stage, the discriminative ability between nitya vastu and anitya vastu. And what is the second stage? Iha amutra phala boga viragaha. Dispassion, detachment from what? Bogaha. All sensory pleasures, all contact bond pleasures, all material dependencies, they are all called bogaha. How are the pleasures acquired or attained? Phalam, which are all in the form of karma phalam. You do a good karma, you get a pleasurable result. You get do bad karma, dukkha result. So, karma phalam eva bogaha. Karma phala bogaha. And every pleasure that we get is the result of what? Purva janma punyam. And by using the adjective karma phalam, what does the scripture indicate? Yat yat karma phalam tat tat anityam. Through the adjective, its ephemeral nature is indicated. Tat tat anityam. So these pleasures, which are the karma phalam, they are acquired where? Iha amutra. In this loka, iha, experienced in this loka, and swargaloka, amutra, or paraloka. If you put it in a simple language, the earthly pleasures and heavenly pleasures born out of punyam. And all of them coming out of what? Anityam. And towards all these anitya pleasures, viragaha, detachment. So one should have detachment from all these anitya pleasures. We should be very careful here. We don't say hatred should be developed. Hatred is as dangerous as attachment. There is no question of hatred towards them. Even if a person wants to enjoy them, we don't say no. Go ahead and enjoy. We only say when you are enjoying it, let the mind be prepared to lose them anytime also. Don't think that enjoyment is going to be permanently with you. Either renounce the enjoyment or enjoy with preparation, with a prepared mind. Such a prepared mind is called a mature mind, a mind with dispassion. Tadanantaram, after Viveka, after getting the knowledge about Viveka, Vairagyam is actually after Viveka. It is a consequence of Viveka only. So Viveka Palam is Vairagyam. And what is the third qualification? So Viveka is the first qualification among the six qualifications. So now we are not going into that yet. So Viveka is among the four for the Sadhana Chatushtayam. First is Viveka, then Vairagya. And the third qualification is a group of six qualifications, six inner values. Shamadi, Shatka Sampattihi, the sixfold disciplines. Shatka Sampatti means sixfold disciplines. Sampatti means literally wealth. Here these are all inner wealth, not the material wealth, inner wealth. Why they are called wealth? Through the worldly wealth, the material wealth, we can purchase what? We can purchase worldly pleasures only. But through this inner wealth, we can buy the ultimate pleasure, namely the moksha pleasure or spiritual pleasure. And what is that wealth? Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi. Only this currency will work in the spiritual world. And Shama, Shama means the mind control or thought discipline. In Tattva Bodha it is said, Shama means Mano Nigraha. Adi means etc. It indicates the other five disciplines also. Shama, Dama, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhana. We are going to see all of them. So totally six inner disciplines. And what are those disciplines? The author will explain each one of them later. And what is the fourth qualification? So this is the third qualification. First was Viveka, Vairagya. And the third is a group of six inner values called the Shamadhi Shakta Sampatti. And the fourth qualification is Mumukshutvam. While there is dispassion towards Anitya Vastu, there is equally increased passion for what? For Nitya Vastu. I should attain moksha. The passion is turned away from Anitya Vastu and turned vigorously towards the Nitya Vastu. Both the people have obsession. But for a Mumukshu, it is directed towards spirituality. Iti Sputam. All these are very clearly said in the Vedanta Shastra. That is what the Acharya mentions. Shloka 20. Brahma Satyam Jaganmityam Ityevam rupo vinischayaha. Brahma satyam jaganmitya. Ityevam rupo vinischayaha. Soyam nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. Samudahritaha. Here onwards, further elaboration of these four qualifications is going to be done by the Acharya. So first he said viveka. Then he said nitya anitya vastu viveka. Now he says, what is Nityam and what is Anityam? That is how the development is going to be. What is Nityam? And he says, what is Nityam? So, Jagat Mithya. Mithya means Anityam. Jagat Anityam. The whole creation is impermanent. Whether it is a thing or it's a being or a situation, all are Anityam. In Gita, Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvanal Lokaha. Punaravrittinaha. He talks about the duration of Brahmaji's life. It is said Brahmaji's life, for example, if you take the Kali Yuga is 432,000 years and Dwapara is twice that long, Treta is thrice that long and Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga is four times that long. All these put together is 4,320,000 years. It is called one Chatur Yuga. And 1,000 such Chatur Yugas make a 12-hour day of Brahma. And another 1,000 such make another 12-hour night of Brahmaji. So 2,000 Chatur Yugas make a 24-hour day of Brahmaji. Like that, he has got 365 days for the year. And he has to live for 100 years. His lifespan is 100 years. So, and Krishna says, even that Brahmaji has to vacate his Brahmaji's position one day. It is also not permanent for him. It is very long compared to our lifespan, but it is also not permanent. So, up to Brahmaloka, everything is anityam, including Brahmaji's position. Iti evam rupa vinischayaha. This form, this must be so thorough. This must be dridagnanam. It should be a firm knowledge. And how do you get this dridagnanam? Through three methods, we get this knowledge. One is by pratyaksha pramana. Another is by anumana pramana. And the third one is through shastra pramana. And pratyaksha pramanam tells me that everything around me is perishing. I am seeing it pratyaksha, I am seeing it in real life. When we read the obituary columns in the newspapers, we forget that we also will be in that list one day. Alexanders, Hitlers, Napoleon, Shankaracharyas all have appeared and disappeared. We all thought without certain people the world will not turn. That's what we sometimes, you know, the way they were at that point in time, that's what we think. We find that they all disappear, but still the world continues. So, pratyaksha pramanam teaches me the impermanence of everything. And the second is called anumana pramanam. All the swargaloka pleasures, they are all finite. I can easily infer. How? By knowing that whatever is karma palam is anityam. So, when I know whatever is karma palam, that is anityam, karma swargaloka is because of what? Is because of my karma palam. Because karmapalam is anityam, swargaloka is also anityam. So, swargalokaha anityaha karmapalatvat. Bhulokaha and deken, so the sukhavate, it appears. So, even though I have not seen, I can infer. Like, I can infer fire from the smoke. I can infer the ephemerality of heavens. By what? That it is also a karmapalam. It is also a result of karma. So, anumana pramanena, I can know that these are all anityam. And finally, for example, our own death, how do we know we are all mortals? How do we know that? By pratyaksha pramana or anumana pramana? Not pratyaksha pramana, because we are all happily alive now. Our death is only an inference because we have seen the other people. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. That's what Krishna said. Whoever is born has to die one day. As in the case of my great-great-grandfather, my grandfather, I also have a date of birth and so will have a date of death also. This is an inferential knowledge. And finally, if these two things do not work for somebody, that is pratyaksha pramana is not available and the person does not have enough intelligence to infer also, anumana pramana also, then Shastra comes and tells, O human being, everything around you is perishable only. So, pratyaksha, anumana, Shastra pramanaihi, jagat anityam iti, vi nishchayaha. Then naturally there will be a curiosity. If everything is anityam, is there no vastu at all which is nityam? Is there something eternal at all? But unfortunately, the eternal entity is not available for perception. I cannot perceive that. Even science is not able to find out and say definitely what is eternal. In fact, the more you probe into the creation, the more confusing it becomes. So, what is the basic thing of creation? What is the truth of this universe? The permanent essence of the world, we do not know by pratyaksha pramana and anumana pramana. Therefore, Shastram comes and tells us there is something eternal. We have not seen, we cannot see also. Shastram introduces a new word that is called Brahma. If you go to the Puranas, they will call it God or Bhagavan. If you come to Vedanta, the same Bhagavan will be called as Brahma. The advantage of using the word Bhagavan is we can imagine a form and we can pray anything to him. He doesn't tell you, I am bored, I have heard enough of it. No, You can go on listing whatever you want to list. If you say Brahman, he does not have a form, does not have a color, does not have taste, shape, nothing. So praying becomes very difficult. That is the only difference. So the Bhagavan of Puranas and the Brahman of Vedanta both refer to only one thing, that is the Nitya Vastu, Brahma Satyam. If you want security, hold on to Bhagavan or Brahman. That is the indirect message. So Brahma Satyam means Satyam is Nityam. And Jagat Anityam iti Vinishchayaha. Definitive knowledge. Saha Ayam. So Ayam means Saha Ayam. This is known as Nityam Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. The discrimination between the Nitya Vastu Brahman and Anitya Vastu, the material world, or Mithya Vastu, the Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, all those terms we know from earlier lectures. So this person has diagnosed his problem to some extent, if he knows this much. Iti udahritaha, samudahritaha, it is said in the scriptures. By saying samudahritaha, what the Acharya really means is that this is not my invention. It is not some Adishankaraism. This is already in the scriptures. I don't want to take the credit for this. Already it has been said in the Upanishads, Brahma Sutra, etc. With this, the qualification number one is over. Now the Acharya will go to the next qualification, Vairagyam. So Viveka is already established. Shloka 21. Tadvairagyam jihasaya darshana shravanadibihi. Tadvairagyam jihasaya darshana shravanadibihi. Dehadi brahma paryante yanitye boga vastuni. Dehadi brahma paryante yanitye boga vastuni. What is Vairagyam? Ya jihasa tat vairagyam. There is actually another reading also. Instead of jihasa, it is jugupsa. That is also there, but we will say jihasa here. So jihasa means preparedness to give up or to lose anything. Hatum icham jihasa. Mental preparedness to lose any ephemeral thing in life. Always I am prepared just to lose, no problem at all. I need not prepare to lose the permanent thing. I should be only prepared to lose the impermanent things. I don't have to be prepared to lose the permanent thing because it is never lost. It is permanent. So I don't have to be afraid of that. So we are talking about the preparedness to lose the losable things, the things that can be lost. This is called intelligence actually. And the preparation is threefold also. First, either I don't possess or avoid possessing that thing at all. Only when I possess, there will be the worry of losing. So if I don't possess at all, no problem. I can avoid. And there is no need to avoid a thing, but be mentally ready to lose that thing when a time comes, including life. I don't have to try to avoid vehemently, but whenever that, I should be prepared internally to lose it anytime. So if you take the whole life, preparedness for death is intelligence. As someone nicely said, for impermanent local journeys, I want to take a trip to California or Florida somewhere. How much of preparation we make? How much of, you know, air travel, that, this, where will I stay? All those things, so many. Whether I should take insurance for the travel. So much of preparation. And the journey itself is doubtful. Whether the weather will be good, I don't know. Whether the plane will land on time, take off on time, all those things I don't know. For an impermanent journey, if you are preparing so much, what do we do for the definite and permanent journey, namely death? Even if you take another janma and come back, it is not going to be this shape. It can be any shape. Therefore, preparation for losing the losable thing is called vairagyam. So, ya jihasa. With regard to what? Anitya boga vastuni. With regard to every impermanent pleasure. Anitya boga vastuni. Beginning with what? Dehadi, dehadi, from the very physical body, which is a temporary luxury the Lord has given to me now. I am enjoying it because of Lord has given this temporary luxury to me. We don't know the value of this body, the value of health. We don't even cognize the value of the fingers even, the ears, all those organs. If one finger is lost, we will know what it is. Unfortunately, we recognize their values only when we lose them, are about to lose them, including youth. Therefore, dehaha, the physical body. Brahma paryante. Brahma is not also, is not the satyam jnanam anantam Brahma here. But Brahmaji's body. So, Chaturmukha Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha. So, because that is the highest pleasure. Deha represents the lowest pleasure, human body. So, from this worldly pleasure to the highest Brahmaloka pleasure, with regard to every pleasure, jihasa. Enjoy them all right, no problem. But be ready to lose also any time. And how? Darshana Shravanadibihi. So, vairagyam or dispassion is developed through what? Through darshanam, through experience. Because initially a person thinks that everything is shashvatam. You know this term shashvatam? Everybody thinks that it's permanent. And after two or three kicks in life, he gets some dents somewhere here and there. Everybody becomes philosophers. For most people, this vairagyam also is temporary. That is called smashana vairagyam. There are two kinds of vairagyam. Normally they say purana vairagyam and smashana vairagyam. This guy goes to listen to some upanyasam, some purana, some story, nala charitram. They are talking about the story of nala. So he listens to all that and he says, aha, what a thing. Nothing is permanent. Everything here, even a person, a great maharaja like nala has to lose everything and all. And the moment he returns back from that upanyasam, everything is forgotten, comes back to the same routine. Similarly, smashana vairagyam, somebody dies, Ram Nam Satyahai, they take him, go burn, you know, cremate, all that. He goes along with them. And he says all that thing. So the what is everything, you know, all Gita, Upanishad, Brahman, Sannyasa, all those things come to his mind. Until the dead body is burnt. And actually Swami Dayananda, he nicely says, he has got a smoky vairagyam. Along with the smoke, the vairagyam comes, and even before the smoke disappears, goes away, the vairagyam also goes away. Then another death should happen to get vairagyam once again. So here, the very life experience gives vairagyam. We need to only maintain it. We have got a lot of opportunities to gain vairagyam, but we have to maintain it. So the Lord gives enough experiences to polish ourselves, to refine ourselves. So darshanena vairagyam. And another mode of vairagyam is shravanadibihi, shravanena. They say read the Puranas, listen to the Puranas. From the Puranas, we come to know that even for very great kings, loss is inevitable. Rama was an avatara himself, but he could not enjoy the kingdom. He had to go to forest. Because of what? Not because of he was defeated by another emperor or by the queens or ministers or any of those people, but by a local ordinary servant maid who could send an emperor to the forest. Emperor, the avatara to the forest. When this is the lot of powerful emperors like Rama, what to talk of us? Nalini dalagata jalam jalamati taralam tadva jivitam atishaya chapalam. That's what Acharya says. And so, Shravanam here means reading the Puranas like Ramayana, Mahabharata, etc. We come to know that no one can escape ups and downs in life. The life is always Mishra. It is always a mixed thing of pleasures and pain. So, we are all perhaps Mishras. Life is all, because it's mixed with pleasures and pain. So, through experiencing and reading scriptures and developing Vairagyam, Adibihi means etc. Inference, through inference also, we can develop vairagyam towards all these impermanent things. As I told earlier, there is no need for vairagyam towards permanent things. For impermanent things only, we need vairagyam. Thus, viveka shakti, viveka, and vairagyam are both discussed. And the next qualification is the sixfold inner discipline. Each one of them will be defined hereafter. And the first one is called Shamaha. That we will read in the next shloka. Virajya Vishaya Vratat Dosha Drishtya Muhur Muhuhu. Virajya Vishaya Vratat Dosha Drishtya Muhur Muhuhu. Swalakshye Niyata Vastha Manasa Shama Uchyate. Swalakshye Niyata Vastha మనసశమ ఉచ్యతే. సో శంకరాచార్య హీ డిఫైన్స్ శమ, శమ హీ డిఫైన్స్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ది ఎబిలిటీ టు ఫోకస్ ద మైండ్, ది కెపాసిటీ టు ఫోకస్, నెవర్ లూసింగ్ ఫోకస్ ఆర్ నెవర్ లూసింగ్ ద విషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రయారిటీస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. ది టాప్ ప్రయారిటీ బీయింగ్ వాట్? ద స్పిరిచువల్ అకాంప్లిష్మెంట్. ఆల్ అదర్స్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ ఇంటర్మీడియరీ స్టేజెస్. బ్రహ్మచర్య ఆశ్రమ, ఎడ్యుకేషన్, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ఓన్లీ మీన్స్. రన్నింగ్ అ గృహస్థాశ్రమ ఈజ్ నాట్ అ గ్రేట్ అకాంప్లిష్మెంట్, ఇట్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఎ మీన్స్ ఓన్లీ. సో ఈస్ ఆల్సో వానప్రస్థ ఆశ్రమ అండ్ సన్యాసాశ్రమ. రిమెంబరింగ్ ద మీన్స్ అస్ ద మీన్స్ అండ్ ద ఎండ్ అస్ ద ఎండ్ ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ ద మీన్స్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ టు ద ఎండ్. సమ్ పీపుల్ అట్ ద టైమ్ సే అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ ఐ హ్యావ్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్, ఐ హ్యావ్ అ ఫుల్ లైఫ్, ఐ హ్యావ్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, ఐ హ్యావ్ రేస్డ్ ఆల్ మై కిడ్స్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ వెల్ సెటిల్డ్. దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అకాంప్లిష్మెంట్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇన్ వేదాంత. ఈవెన్ అనిమల్స్ అండ్ బర్డ్స్ డూ దాట్. ఇఫ్ యూ వాచ్ డిస్కవరీ ఛానల్ వీ నో దో స్పీషీస్ దే టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ దర్ యంగ్ వన్స్ మచ్ క్లోజర్, మచ్ మోర్ డియరర్ దెన్ ఈవెన్ హాస్. సో టేకింగ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఆర్ ఆల్ వండర్ఫుల్, బట్ స్టిల్ దే ఆర్ ఓన్లీ మీన్స్ అండ్ నాట్ అన్ ఎండ్. బట్ రిమెంబరింగ్ ద ఎండ్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ శమ. సో హీ సేస్ విషయ వ్రాతాత్ విరజ్య, డిటాచింగ్ ద మైండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద గ్రూప్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. దట్ ఈస్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ హియర్ దే రెఫర్ టు ఆల్ ది టెంపరీ గోల్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్, ఇన్సిడెంటల్ గోల్స్. వ్రాత మీన్స్ సమూహ, గ్రూప్, మల్టిట్యూడ్స్. విషయ వ్రాత మీన్స్ మల్టిట్యూడ్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, ఇన్సిడెంటల్ గోల్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్, మల్టిట్యూడ్స్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. దే ఆల్ షుడ్ బి పేయిడ్ అటెన్షన్ టు, నో ప్రాబ్లమ్ అట్ ఆల్. బట్ వెన్ వీ పే అటెన్షన్, వాట్ షుడ్ బి పేయిడ్ ద మ్యాక్సిమమ్ అటెన్షన్ అండ్ టెంపరీ అటెన్షన్, వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ ఫర్గెట్ దాట్. వాట్ రిక్వైర్స్ లోకలైజ్డ్ అటెన్షన్ కెనాట్ బి గివన్ పర్మనెంట్ అటెన్షన్. బట్ వాట్ షుడ్ బి గివన్ లోకలైజ్డ్ అటెన్షన్ షుడ్ బి గివన్ ఫుల్ అటెన్షన్. వన్ హ్యాస్ బి కేర్ఫుల్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ లోకలైజ్డ్ అటెన్షన్, ఐ కెనాట్ బి నెగ్లిజెంట్ విత్ దెమ్, ఐ షుడ్ గివ్ ఫుల్ అటెన్షన్. బట్ ఐ షుడ్ నో దట్ దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ద పర్మనెంట్ అటెన్షన్. డ్యూరింగ్ ఈటింగ్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వన్ షుడ్ బి అటెంటివ్ అండ్ ఈట్ ప్రాపర్లీ. వన్ షుడ్ మిక్స్ ద ప్రాపర్ థింగ్స్ టు మిక్స్ విత్ ద ప్రాపర్ డిష్. వన్ కెనాట్ జస్ట్ ఈట్ పిక్ల్డ్ అండ్ మిక్స్ ఇట్ విత్ పాయసం అండ్ సమ్ పీపుల్ మైట్ లైక్ దోస్ టేస్ పర్హాప్స్ ఐ డోంట్ నో. బట్ దర్ ఈస్ అ వే బై విచ్ యు నో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు పే అటెన్షన్ ఈవెన్ ఈటింగ్, మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. సో విషయ వ్రాతాత్ విరజ్య. అండ్ హౌ డు యూ డెవలప్ దాట్? దోషదృష్ట్యా, బై సీయింగ్ ది ఇంపర్మనెంట్ గోల్స్ యాజ్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్. వన్ షుడ్ నో ద దోషాస్, వీ షుడ్ నో దట్ దే ఆర్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్. యాజ్ సీయింగ్ ది ఇన్సిడెంటల్ గోల్స్ యాజ్ ఇన్సిడెంటల్ గోల్స్, వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ మిక్స్ ఇన్సిడెంటల్ గోల్ విత్ పర్మనెంట్ గోల్స్. యాజ్ చిల్డ్రన్ ఐ షుడ్ పే ఫుల్ అటెన్షన్ టు దెమ్, యాజ్ దే గ్రో దే విల్ పే అటెన్షన్ టు దెమ్ సెల్వ్స్. యాజ్ మై చైల్డ్ యాజ్ అ చైల్డ్ ఐ షుడ్ పే ఫుల్ అటెన్షన్ టు ద చైల్డ్, దట్స్ ట్రూ. బట్ వెన్ దే గ్రో అప్ దే విల్ పే అటెన్షన్ టు దెమ్ సెల్వ్స్, దే మే నాట్ ఈవెన్ వాంట్ మీ టు గివ్ అటెన్షన్ టు దెమ్, దే మే నాట్ వాంట్ మీ టు పే ఫుల్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దర్ లైఫ్. లెట్ దెమ్ హ్యావ్ దర్ లైఫ్ అండ్ లెట్ మీ హ్యావ్ మైన్. ద ఓన్లీ పర్మనెంట్ పర్స్యూట్ ఈస్ మై ఓన్ ఇన్నర్ గ్రో, దట్ అలోన్ షుడ్ బి, బికాస్ పీపుల్ డోంట్ రియలైజ్ దర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ దిస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఆఫ్ సన్ అండ్ ఫాదర్, సన్ అండ్ మదర్, సన్ మదర్ ఇన్ లా, మదర్ ఇన్ లా అండ్ డాటర్ ఇన్ లా, ఆల్ దీస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ కమ్ బికాస్ వీ డోంట్ నో దట్ వీ ఆర్ నాట్ ఇన్ ద డ్రైవర్స్ సీట్ నౌ, దే ఆర్ ఇన్ ద డ్రైవర్స్ సీట్. ఐ హ్యావ్ డన్ మై జాబ్, ఐ హ్ రేస్ దెమ్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ సెటిల్డ్, సో లెట్ దెమ్ హ్యావ్ దర్ లైఫ్. ఐ షుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు బి కంటెంట్ విత్ వాట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ అండ్ లెట్ దెమ్ లివ్ దర్ లైఫ్. ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ యాస్డ్ గివ్ అడ్వైస్, ఇఫ్ యూ ఆర్ నాట్ యాస్డ్ ఫైన్. ఇఫ్ యూ థింక్ సమ్టైమ్స్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు అడ్వైస్, స్టాప్ విత్ బ్రీఫ్లీ అండ్ సీ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రిసీవ్డ్ ప్రాపర్లీ ఆర్ నాట్. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ రిసీవ్డ్ ప్రాపర్లీ, ఫైన్, జస్ట్ లీవ్ ఇట్. సో దోషదృష్ట్యా ముహుర్ముహు, వీ విల్ ఫర్గెట్ దిస్ అండ్ వీ పోక్ అవర్ నోస్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది టైమ్. So the nose will be cut only by our own children, daughter-in-law, etc. And we say, oh, my own son, the one whom I brought up for so many years, I educated him, I made him this, that and all. Look at him, he is not even respecting me today. So better remember this all the time, muhur muhuhu, repeatedly remind yourselves. So when we give up all intellectual pursuits, all the time is with me. What do we do at that time? When I give up all my incidental pursuits, whatever, all the temporary pursuits, all the time is available to me, and at that time I should spend to gain intellectual pursuit. If there is nothing else to do in old age, that is a problem. Many people, because they don't have anything to do in old age, they tend to poke their nose in every affair. But if you are busy with our own pursuit, we won't have time to interfere at all. Therefore, have some important project for later life. What am I going to do? Because the fear of a lot of people is, what will I do after retirement? I have nothing else to do. At least every day morning I have 9 o'clock to go to office, come back at whatever time. So I have something to look for every day. After retire, I don't know what to do. This is a lot for a lot of people. So what is that project? Swamiji so jokingly says, attend the Vedanta classes at least. So, Swalakshye Niyata Avastha. Focus your mind on your lakshyam, goal. What is that goal? Discovery of inner security, inner fulfillment, inner happiness. That is Swalakshyam, which is Mokshaha. And Niyata Avastha, permanently focused condition. And when children, grandchildren, they come, don't ask them to go away saying that I am a Vedantic seeker now, I have no time for you. No. When they come, do everything to them. Play with the children, talk to them, be part of them, all that is good. So dispassion is not externally expressed. It is an inner maturity. So if they say they will come, okay. And if they say they want to go back, that is also okay. And if they say we will come and don't show up, that is also okay. We don't have to say I'm happier if you don't come, but okay, that's good. So Swalakshye Niyata Avastha means Manasaha Shamaha Iti Uchyate. Focused mind is Shamaha. The focusing capacity is Shamaha, mind control, which in Tattva Bodha, the Acharya defined it as Mano Nigraha. Vishaye Vyaparavartya Sthapanam Swasva Golake. Vishaye Vyaparavartya Sthapanam Swasva Golake. Ubaye Shamindriyanam Sadhama Parikirtitaha. Ubaye Shamindriyanam Sadhama Parikirtitaha. So the second discipline is talked about here. It is called Dhamaha. So the first of the sixfold disciplines is called the Shamaha, mind control. Now the second one is Dhamaha, sensory discipline, sense control. The previous one is mental, Shamaha. Now sense control. And what is that? Acharya says, Indriyanam Paravartya. The sense organs are turned away, Paravartya, from where? Vishayebhyaha, from the sense objects. They are not stuck to them, but turned away from them when the interaction is over. So once the transaction is complete, turn it away. For interaction purpose, whatever sensory contact is required, that is kept. That contact is needed, one has to keep it. But after the transaction is over, when there is no requirement, do not dwell upon those sense objects anymore. Therefore, paravartya, and where they are kept, once you are turning them away, swasva golake sthapanam. The sense organs are kept in their original places, swasva golake. What are the original places? The corresponding physical part. And here we have a small detail to understand. The sense organs are not the physical part. The physical eye is not called the sense organ, but is called golakam. And the sense organ is called the indriyam, the power of perception, visible faculty. That is called the sense organ or indriyam. The physical eye is called the golakam, and the power of perception or seeing is called indriyam, the visible faculty. And according to the scriptures, when we see an object, the physical eye will remain in the body only, but the indriyam is supposed to go out. The golakam remains, but that indriyam goes out. The power of perception goes out. Like for example, a torch light. The torch light remaining in my hand, the beam of light, that alone goes out. Similarly, the golakam is like the torch light, and the indriyam is the beam of consciousness and it goes and illumines the object. When I look an object, I perceive the object because the sense organ, the indriyam, that goes out and illumines that object. So, swashvagolake indriyanam sthapanam. So, the indriya comes back and rests in the golakam after the transaction is over, after the illumination is over. So, here dhamma. So, swashvagolake indriyanam sthapanam, they are placed. So, vishayebhyaha paravritya, having turned them away from the sense objects. And which sense organs? Ubayesham indriyanam. Not only the jnanendriyas, but also the karmendriyas, the sense organs of knowledge, the organs of action also. Both the jnanendriyas and karmendriyas, they are intelligently used. There is moderation in the use of them. If that is not done, what will happen? Krishna said actually in the second chapter, jayato vishayan pumsaha, sangasteshu bajayate, sangasan jayate kamaha, kamat krodobi jayate. When the sense organs dwell on an object repeatedly, the sense organs get addicted to those objects. Exactly like what? The smoker getting addicted to the cigarettes, drinker to the alcohol, and people with coffee. And when coffee is not available, the person says, I have a headache. A simple coffee can control the powerful human being who is supposed to be the roof and crown of creation and who is Sakshat Param Brahma. He becomes a slave to a cup of coffee. All because of what? Not because of prarabdha. Let us not say it is because of prarabdha. But he has consciously, voluntarily abused one's free will. And I have enslaved myself and start blaming the Lord and planets, all the Navagrahas. He plants all of them. It is Shani Dosha and everything. Here, Dhamma means what? It is the appreciation of the rule that prevention is better than cure. The appreciation of that rule, that is important. So, Swami Dayananda, very beautifully he says, you can have the second drink, but never have the first drink. Means what? Don't have any drink. Similarly, with cigarettes also, in all those habits. So, prevention is better than cure. This is called Dhammaham Parikirtitaha. Never become addicted to anything. Judicious use of sense organs is indicated. Now let us go to the third subsidiary discipline called Uparati.
Bahyanalambanam vrittehe yeshoparati ruttamam.
The word Uparati, yeshaha Uparati iti uttama. So the word Uparati means what? Literally quietitude or Uparamanam, quietitude. And this has been given actually three different meanings, of which only one is given in this context here. In Tattvabodha, when we defined this, we said Uparati or Uparama, it was defined there as Swadharma Anushtanam. Confining to Swadharma was called Uparati in Tattvabodha, which means the reduction of Sakama Karma and Nishiddha Karma. That is the one of the, and also concentrating on the nishkama karma. And another definition of Uparati is given as sannyasa, taking to the fourth ashrama, because in that ashrama, a person withdraws from all duties, no family duty, no social duty, no religious duty, etc. So it is another type of withdrawal. So the first definition is partial withdrawal from the sakama and nishiddha karmas, but nishkama karma was maintained. But according to the second definition, it is withdrawal even from nishkama karma even. And there, so far sannyasi, total renunciation, like a monk. And the third definition is given here in this shloka. And what is that? Vrittehe bahya analambanam. The mental function or the mind does not go out again. The mind and sense organs which are withdrawn during shamaha dhammaha, is retained in that condition. So, dhamma and uparati are very close only. In the case of dhamma, sense control, I pull the sense organs. In the case of uparama, I need not pull the sense organs again. It is already pulled, but I retain the sense organs not to go back again like a child. For example, when you take a child, the child runs towards a fire. And what the mother does? she goes and pulls the child back and keeps the child in the lap. The moment the child is left again, we all know, the child will again run back to the fire only. So the mother keeps the child in the lap so it will not run. So keeping is uparama and pulling is dama. So bahya analambanam, not going. So bahya analambanam vrittehe, vrittihi, sensory and mental functions, vrittis, thoughts. And bahya analambanam means not going to external objects once again. So once it is pulled, it should remain in that condition. It should not be again drawn back to go after them again, once again. This is called uparati, which is uttama, an important and primary goal. Because a restless mind cannot study. A non-restless mind alone is indicated here. And the next qualification is given in the next shloka. Sahanam sarva durga dukkhanam apratikara purvakam. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam. Chinta vilaparahitam. Satitikshanigatyate, chinta vilaparahitam, satitikshanigatyate. So the four auxiliary qualification or subsidiary qualification is called the titiksha. So we saw shama, dama, uparama. Fourth is titiksha, also called kshama, kshantihi. Krishna says, ama nitvam madam bitvam ahimsa kshanti rajavam kshantihi. So in Tattva Bodha, titiksha was defined as shita, shita, ushna, sukha, dukkhadi, sakishnutva. So in simple language, titiksha means the power of endurance, the power to endure, the capacity to endure difficulties, pain, without breaking down. So sarva dukkhanam sahanam. Sahanam means endurance. So sarva dukkhanam, all types of difficulties, sorrows, caused by what? Adhyatmika, adibhaudika, adidaivdika. Adhyatmika means my own problems. Then adibhaudika means by the environment, surroundings, the problems caused by the surroundings. And adidaivika, things which are not in our control, like for example, rain, weather. And why do we say titiksha is required? Because no human being can be totally free from pain. I told you, we are all mishras. So life can never be a bed of roses all the time. That is why we are asked to read the Puranas all the time. When we read them, the most important thing that we find is what? All the possible problems in life, one person or the other would have suffered in the Puranas. Loss of money, children, life, fame, all would be there. When we read repeatedly, we come to know that we are not the only ones to suffer. The story of Nala Maharaja, all those stories I mentioned earlier. So when we know that others also are in the same boat, then there is some relief. You know, when the power goes in my house, what do I immediately see? I look at my neighbor's house, whether he also has got power or not. So human life involves dvandva. Dvandva means pairs of opposites. That's why Krishna says, Matras prashastu kamuteyam shitoshna sukadukkadaha agama payino nityaham tantitikshasva bharata. And should we not remedy when there is problem? You know, we have to also always look for remedy when we have a problem, right? Yes, certainly remedies are given. But the thing is what? If you are going to go after remedy for each and every problem, this is called prayaschitta karma. Remedies are all prayaschitta karmas. What will be the tragedy then? The whole life will be devoted only for prayaschitta only. And the thing is, if you solve some bigger problems, then later what will happen? The smaller problems will appear bigger. So there will be no end to it at all. Therefore, there is no question of zero problem coming. And so as much as possible, avoid prayaschitta karma or that is called pratikaram. And learn to endure so that one has time for something greater. And so, sarva dukkhanam sahanam. And how? Apratikara purvakam. When the sorrow is caused by certain human beings, because sorrow can come either through objects or through situations or through human beings. When the sorrow is caused by humans, what is the natural tendency? To develop hatred and an avengeful mentality. The idea of revenge is very natural for human beings. If I cannot take revenge myself, at least I will pray to God. What? Let him suffer. So this attitude is supposed to be very, very unfavorable for inner growth. Throughout the Mahabharata, we see that it is a series of revenging tendencies only. Drona wants to revenge. Drupada, Bhima, Karna, Draupadi, all revengeful. When Krishna wanted to go on a peace mission, Draupadi asked him, if you stop the war, what will happen to my hair? She is more bothered about tying her hair back than stopping a war. So when Rajoguna is dominant, because they are Kshatriyas, the revenging mentality, tit for tat, that is the most dangerous. So apratikaram, without developing revenging mentality or hatred, that does not mean where adharma is there, punishment should not be given. Shastra does not say that. Punishment is different from revenge. It need not be with the revenging attitude. There the attitude is the other person should get corrected. Punishment can come out of love, whereas revenge comes out of hatred. Many times the teacher gives time out to the student. Parents give time out to the child, all out of love, so that the child will get corrected. If a correction can be done without punishment, then this person will try that way only first. Whether correction or love is the motive, or inflicting pain or revenge is the motive, that is the difference. Here, pratikara is that negative aspect. Without that, sahanam. And chinta vilaparahitam. There are some people who do not want to take revenge and who also can endure. They have got the greatest enduring capacity. And who say, what cannot be cured has to be endured. They will say all those things also. But even though they have such mentality, what is their problem? He says, chinta and vilapa. They will entertain constant dejection and depression, feeling frustrated, depressed, thinking of the suffering caused by the other person. Then the endurance becomes useless, because if you are going to be thinking of that all the time, where is endurance? So chinta means here self-pity, self-cursing, that should not be there. And vilapa, verbally lamenting. Chinta is at mental level. Vilapa is what? Verbally lamenting. He will tell the same story whomsoever comes to him. Not only he is depressed, he will be grumbling and moaning. He will depress the other person also. He will make everybody else depressed. He will distribute his grief very freely to all others. Titiksha means no self-pity, no more grumbling, murmuring, complaining. All those things should not be there. Even if someone asks, I say, I have no complaints. You know, I used to tell this. When somebody asks you, how are you? You have to just only say, fine. Nobody is interested in listening to the next word. If you say, fine, that's it. You cannot say, oh, I had this problem today, home, I had that problem. Nobody is interested in listening to any of them. So sharing with someone for some time to get released mentally is one thing. But what is criticized here is constantly, day in and day out, talking about this only is called chinta and vilapa. Rahita. Rahita means without doing that, sahana. So such an endurance is called titiksha. A Vedantin alone can have such an endurance. And such a person alone will have time for Vedanta. That is why Krishna says, Yamhina Vedayantyete Purusham Purusharshabham Shamadukka Sukham Dhiram Somrutatvaya Kalpate Amrutatvam. Here moksha. That firm man who surely is not afflicted by these. O Purusharshabha, O Arjuna, to whom pleasure and pains are same, that person alone is fit for attaining moksha. So this is the qualification, titiksha. So we will continue with the rest of the Shatka Sampattis in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prakto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.